Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. We are ready to engage. Now that the primary is behind us, we're actually going to do a little different this year and this time around, because I think it is paramount that we actually get engaged right now regarding the outcome of this election. If you haven't seen the dangers of low voter turnout, this is another example. And if you've just been ignoring the evidence as we move forward. But before I move forward, let me state this, that this show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org, as well as 1798Part2.org, as well as RepublicReview.org. This is the only radio show on air. As a matter of fact, this is the only show, period, whether it's TV, any medium out there. This is the only show, even live streaming, YouTube, you name it, that will actually give you and speaks to and teaches you on the only solution in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution. Well, what does that mean? That means that this is the only show that actually speaks, calls out, and actually points to what we need to do to get the federal government to comply to that Constitution. If that means anything to you, then great. If it doesn't, then we need to work on that. But if you cannot listen to this entire show today, it will be rebroadcasted tomorrow at 5 p.m. for your later commute. If you want to stay at work a little bit later so you can listen to the rest of the show or this show entirely, then you're good. If you miss that, then we will be rebroadcasting tomorrow or on Saturday at 1. And by the way, we're going to be shifting. So just letting you know that when Whitworth football kicks off, we'll be then rebroadcasting this show at 11, and we'll give you the specific dates as to when we'll be broadcasting at 11 a.m. That being said, this show is also rebroadcasted on Sunday at 9 p.m. So if you have not gotten enough of your religious politics on Sunday, then by all means, just tune in and listen again. Because this is an educational show, as I always tell you, and many parts of these shows refer to previous shows, and these shows build off of each other. Consequently, to stay abreast with our content, you will need to listen to all of these shows to garner what Republic Review is and how we can work together in reclaiming the Republic. Don't forget, you can download these podcasts on reclaimingtherepublic.org. Just look for my KSBN podcast button on the right side. Are you happy with the results of this election? Well, in some ways, it's almost predictable, but I think the warning signs are becoming clearer and clearer. And it really is supporting this concept that I've been telling you. We have 2 to 5 years before we go off the cliff. And that is thankfully because of our education system and thankfully because of the progressive policies that are allowing illegals, refugees, and everybody else that, you know, we can get to vote for Democrats into the voter registration process. The state of Washington is violating the Constitution by allowing illegal aliens to vote. And I'm sure that they're doing the same thing with refugees. And I am sure that the educational, or I should say the indoctrination centers, are doing everything they can to ensure that when children graduate, that they are going to punch that ticket. That is where and why I keep on railing about this ideological divide that we have hit as a society. We hit it a long time ago. The problem is that the conservatives, those on the side of liberty, never realized that we've been at war for thousands of years. We have been in this ideological war ever since Adam and Eve, if you believe in Adam and Eve. If you believe you've evolved from a rodent, I will not wake you up from that delusion. However, I will also state that the comeuppance is a-coming, because these indolent dolts that are coming out of our education system. And there are some good kids. It is a minority. I think the statistics is like 19% of these kids are actually conservative or favor liberty in some respects. But the majority of them favor big government and big government involvement and so forth. And going back to this ideological divide, that is why it is important that we make sure that there is equal representation of parties or ideologies in our government system. In other words, schools should not allow just a bunch of leftist activists into those classrooms. They should have an equal amount of right or conservative activists in those classrooms as well. It should have equal. So that way we have actual the ability to whistleblow when we have teachers step across the line. We shouldn't be waiting for some kid to finally have the courage to videotape something and put it out on YouTube, because that is an outlier event. When I'm telling you the norm is that these leftist progressive activists that are in the classrooms are doing everything, and they're encouraging your children to engage in addictive behavior and destructive behavior, and the kids are loving it, and that's why they want to be associated with this great thing called entitlement and enabling. And so they are literally going lock, stock, and barrel with these progressives. And as soon as they get out and as soon as they can cast their first vote, they are foaming at the mouth to throw away their liberties and throw away yours and mine as well. So parents, if you've got kids in the school system today and they're coming out as Democrats, you are failing. You are failing your constitutional duty as a citizen to support and protect and defend the Constitution. And if you don't realize that, then, well, give me a call. Send me an email, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org, and I will try to help you through this, how this is your fault. Because parents have a much greater responsibility for society than just turning their kids over, because the progressives are loving the fact that that's exactly what you're doing. And that's why so many kids have been so successfully indoctrinated that we have these marches for life and so forth and so on. But I don't want to go too far down this path, because I still have a couple of local announcements, at least the more importantly, as I always say, Rob Chase, who is running for county commissioner, who didn't turn out the amount of votes that he needs to actually secure that. We need Rob Chase in government. And I will get into that when we talk about the outcomes. But his Republican Coffee Club, 7 a.m. this Friday, August 10th, he's going to have a discussion on the primary election review, and it's going to be just a general discussion, open forum. So if you want to voice your opinion on the outcomes, just get up a little early, go have some coffee. It costs $5 for the coffee. You get a little pastry too, but you get to meet people that have some interesting perspectives. And I'm sure your interesting perspective is more than welcome. And Rob, make sure that everybody, you know, has an opportunity. If you want to speak or pipe up, by all means, get in there and pipe up. Next week, it'll be Spokane Mayor David Condon. I guess, as I've heard plenty of times, and I don't know for a fact of all these Agenda 21 things that David Condon has just let slide by, but these road calming or these road diets, whatever, traffic calming is what I think the Department of Transportation calls it. The fact that he's allowing that to come through with federal dollars and constraining our productivity, shame on him. I hope he's termed out. I hope that we're at a point where we can get actually a mayor and some leadership in Spokane that is going to support individual liberty and individual sovereignty and actually do their job as government in making it possible for you to be as productive in society as possible, instead of creating all sorts of entitlements where Spokane can be the next city of blight like Detroit, San Francisco, Seattle, Baltimore, Atlanta. I mean, there are plenty of cities that are going down that path, and it is a sad thing to see our leadership allowing us to go down that path. Anyway, Rob Chase's, he actually has Rob Case coming in, and that is on August 24th, or Casey, and he's the Regional Veterans Services Center, and he will be able to talk about how they provide services or not services for the veterans based on their funding and so forth. But Rob's Republican Coffee Club. It meets every Friday, 7 a.m. at the Something Else Deli, and that is on 152 South Sherman. So make sure you make it there. Now, Northwest Grassroots, as you heard me talk about, that there was this flailing and this stirring up. You probably know plenty about what's going on and what happened because Cecily ended up resigning. And as far as I'm concerned, this was a setup. And as far as I'm concerned, there is more evidence that supports that this was a setup. However, I will get into that later. I may not have time to get into that this week, so I will get into this in detail. And by the way, I am digging up facts so that because, you know, the opposition, they don't like facts. They like ambiguity and they like to be able to just throw out, you know, labels, and they want to convict you and hang you as fast as possible. Do you remember that Roy Moore case or that election? There is still no facts that have come out of that. And there we went and allowed an election to basically become tainted because of false accusations. So anyway, let's go ahead and move forward. I'm almost out of time. So I will just tell you that if you've been listening to my Red State Talk Radio this past week, I've talked heavily this past week on the polarized ideologies and their effects on our society and government, and the outcome of that and what we need to do to start addressing that. And as I can tell, I'm at a hard break. I will be back to give you more information, and we're going to go in through some election results. So please stay tuned, and we will be right back after a word from our sponsors. Thank you so much. Most people resist change, but how would you like to be rewarded in at least two ways for considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy believes your smile is a reflection upon him, and that is a mutually shared reward between both him and you. Another reward is improving your overall health by working with your dentist like Dr. Tracy and developing a strategy in maintaining your dental health. But how would you like a direct incentive in considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy and his staff from time to time offer a special referral program. For every new patient you refer who becomes a patient, Dr. Tracy will reward you with $50 off your dental work. Consequently, if you refer five people, that's $250 off your dental work. Give them a call and ask for the details and the availability of the referral program by calling 466-6614 or go to VonTracyDDS.com. Again, that's 466-6614 or sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so as I promised, we are going to get into some election results, but there's always that but, isn't there? But before we do, I want to actually plug the fact that I'm going to have Elaine Lindstrom back next week. And we're going to discuss the turnout and we're going to kind of look at the numbers. I will reach out to her and ask her to do a little analysis as to last year's turnout and how, if there is any sign of actually bumping things towards the progressive or towards the conservative candidates and so forth, because there is a little improvement. There is a little bit of improvement in this primary, but it is nothing to brag about. I think the overall turnout for the county is 25%. And I don't know if you're going, if you've ever been to school, but I don't think a 25% grade or 25% outcome on whatever it is you're doing is a passing grade or a passing amount of effort. In other words, Spokane County, if you're listening and you did not vote, you have failed us. Bottom line, you have failed us. We need you to exercise your civic responsibility and duty. And if we get a voter turnout that actually becomes a very powerful blue wave, then that's what we get. But that is at least a true scope and representation on what this county really is. I look at this county, I look at the people, I notice that this is a very conservative. It is more, far more conservative, I believe, than it is blue. And I cannot believe that we're still getting blue because most of you, 75%, are choosing not to vote. So I will, I'll be taking plenty of time between now and November, ensuring that I poke those of you who have not voted. Now, if you did vote and you voted blue, well, then I hope you get what you want because that's what you deserve. If you're looking for government to take over, you're looking to actually destroy productivity, you destroy businesses, and you want to move Spokane towards cities of blight, and that's what you're relishing, then I hope so. But I will tell you that I am asking everybody who is anti-blight to make sure that you start demanding that 26, 29, as many of the South Hill two-way or four-lane roads get shut down to two lanes with the traffic calming, and everybody is equally affected. Because if it's not being equally done, then I think you have ethical charges to go against the city council. Because why is it that it is on the north side of the river that they're doing the majority of their effects on productivity? And I want to see them actually start doing this traffic calming to everybody. Let's shut down Spokane until we finally break and say, you know what, this is stupid. Because bottom line, that's what it is. It is a destructive progressive ideology. This is part of the Agenda 21. If you don't know, and I know I haven't had any real experts on except for Tom DeWeese that talked about it real quick, and he just was talking about his book in the past. But maybe we need to, you know, have more of those people on. Maybe that's something we'll do after the election. We'll see. But the focus between now and November is the election. So let's kind of go through these election results. I want to let you know that as I look at the overall counts, and let's just focus on the legislative seats because, you know, that's really important. The congressional, I can't help but say that if you look at CMR and the congressional seat for this area, it does not look good when you find out that, you know, the majority of the counties behind CMR. Now, I'm just looking at Spokane County, but the majority of Spokane County typically votes very conservative. And so with the outcome of Spokane County with Lisa Brown winning, I'm going, well, that has to have a big part of the lower voter turnout. And if this doesn't motivate you, because if you do not vote, then we're going to start seeing some massive changes. And if you want those massive changes to affect your livelihood, your pocketbook, and everything else, because somebody's got to pay for all of this good government, you know, traffic calming and reduction of your productivity, that's going to be you, the taxpayer, or, you know, you might as well just get ready to jump into the welfare lines because that's where the state wants you. They want you fully dependent on them. Anyway, let me kind of brush over some of these outcomes. Tom Taylor, who is the champion for conservatives for the first position in Legislative District 3, he basically is one third of the votes behind the current, I should say, the Democratic opponent that he is facing. And so I think it's really important that if you live in the Legislative District 3, if you operate businesses in that district, you need to call Tom and say, what can I do? How much money? If you don't have a lot of money, then don't just send him 10 bucks, $5 a week, $2 a week. If everybody that supports conservative, let me just put it to you this way. There's 5,000 people that voted for him, 6,000, let's say 6,000. If everybody that voted for him gave him $2 a week, that's not much. That's a half a gallon of gas. If everybody gave him, and this is, I'm not going to repeat this for every one of these candidates, but I will say this, that if you give them $2 a week, then that is a lot of money, because that's $12,000 a week that allows them to buy and get more people engaged. If you add up the $12,000 a week going into the rest of the campaign, or I should say going into the general election, that's a lot of money that they can use, that they can mobilize more people and get more done. It costs money, folks, to win a campaign. It costs money to run a campaign. And in a blue state and in a blue area, or I should say a purple area, it's about fighting. And that fighting costs money. I can't emphasize this enough. $2 from everybody that voted would be a huge wind in their sail. I mean, sure, they'd love $10. Sure, they'd love $20 or, $100. They're scrapping for whatever little scraps that you're throwing at them. And that's not enough. You have to get committed. And businesses, now let me poke at you, businesses in this third legislative district, you need to be ponying up, because these people are supposedly your only, they're not supposedly, they are really your only last hope in keeping, more taxes coming down your throat, more regulations, and more stupidity that will affect you. Do you want your roads to be calmed? Do you want your commerce and the flowing of commerce restricted more? Really? I can't believe this. So let me just go on and say that businesses, you have a greater responsibility. Soros is banking on the fact that you're too greedy and that you won't buy your posterity or prosperity. There's posterity and prosperity. They're the two words. I have to say them like that to get it right. But Soros and these elitists are banking on the fact that local businesses will not contribute to their own prosperity. They think that every penny you have to spend, because it's the capitalistic idea, you have to have a return on investment. You have to have a monetary return. I'm telling you, the greatest monetary return on investment you can make is ensuring that your government is supporting liberty, because liberty allows you to be competitive. If you're not, and they're going to get their hands into your wallet and pocket, they will destroy you unless you are buying collusion and affluence by buying those types of candidates. And that's exactly what the left is doing. And so that's why you find lots of businesses spending big bucks. You know, it used to be said that big businesses were the only ones that were buying the Republicans, but that is not true. Big businesses for a long time, the globalists have been paying and pouring big dollars into the statist ideology so that they can have a monopoly. You know, whether that be Walmart, whether that be McDonald's, whomever, there's lots of money from these big businesses that go into the Democratic funds. So anyway, with that, these exact same things apply. You need to be contributing to Dave Lucas as well. So let me be clear. There is two positions that are open in the third legislative district. So it's a gallon of gas for everybody a week if you contributed to both Dave and Tom Taylor. Just so that because both of these are really one third behind. They need money to get above that. So I just want to be clear. If everybody that voted, that would be 6,000 people that voted for Dave and basically 6,000 that voted for Tom, I'm telling you that would be $12,000 if everybody was giving them $2. That means that, that's four times, right? That would be $96,000 a month that they would have to put on TV ads and so forth and bury Marcus and Barry Timm. So let me move forward. Legislative District 4, Matt Shea, he's comfortable, but he needs some help. He needs love. He needs support. He is in a very red district, but it's very close. I mean, the margin was 7% based on the tally currently, around 7%. And so he needs help as well. And the 12,000 votes that he got, 12,500 votes, folks, if you are voting for him, then you need to be throwing him some love as well. And what is it? Yeah, like I said, I'm just going to stand to this $2. $2 is a realistic thing that everybody can contribute. I'm at a hard break. I can't believe the time flies by so fast, especially when I'm ranting. Anyway, I will be right back after word from our sponsors because I've got plenty. Believe it or not, I actually have plenty to rant about. Thank you so much. And we will be right back after word from our sponsors. Most of my listeners understand the importance in having strategic goals, but do you have a long-term strategy for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile. I understand the appearance of your teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth, and many dentists will take your money just to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail, and if you don't have a long-term strategy for your teeth and dental health, then you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain and restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Von Tracy, DDS.com. That's VONTRACYDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Okay, so I'm back, and I feel pretty calm, and I think things are pretty good. Actually, that's not true. I'm a little upset that the voter turnout. I can't be upset because we did actually get better, but I know we can do better. I know that there is a way of getting more people out. And it is literally going to require everybody to be a part of the solution. If you're not a part of the solution, then you are a part of the problem, period. So going through the two cases in the 4th Legislative District, because there's only two real races that are going on, Matt Shea and Bob McCaslin, both of them are pretty much in a solid position. I will say this, though, that Matt Shea has been under a lot of attacks, and he is a good man. He is looking out for everybody's liberty. He is a huge champion of liberty, and I don't just mean the state of liberty, as we, kind of plays with that. But anyway, I do know that Matt needs help, and Bob McCaslin needs help, too. So, as I said before, please send it out. Send some love to those who you're supporting because they need more than just a vote. They need a couple of dollars a day from everybody, or I should say a week, or maybe 2 weeks, whatever you can afford to do. But bottom line, you have to start acknowledging that campaigns cost money. So if everybody that voted, contributed, and if we could get every business that recognizes that it's not going to kill them to write a $10 check or to spend $10 a week in just, there are 37,000 businesses in Spokane. I'm going to venture to say 50% of them are probably wired for the conservative side. If those businesses would send $10 to each of these candidates, oh, wow, that may be, $100? It may be those within your district. If you can reach out into other districts, because you may be a single business front or a single business or what have you, but at least support those who are running in your legislative district. If you can go beyond that, but if you start understanding the magnitude, if everybody was contributing, we would bankrupt Soros, because Soros does not have the money to throw into every single legislative district across the United States. There are 5,445 legislatures, senators and representatives, and there's no way Soros can spend that kind of money, especially if everybody started contributing. This is huge, folks. It doesn't take you to write a huge check. It only takes everybody to contribute a little bit. This is the Bernie Sanders model, and at least the millennials got it, because Bernie Sanders made millions of dollars just off the millennials. I am just trying to articulate that it is a civil responsibility and duty to do what you can, if you can. And I'm going to venture to say that most everybody can at least afford $2 a week, or at least $2 every 2 weeks for some of their candidates, period. And then let me move forward. If you look at the legislative District 4, we have, we've already covered Bob McCaslin and Tom Mache, or not Tom, I'm sorry, Tom, not Tom, Matt. Did anybody know that I'm really bad with names? Anyway, I struggle with names. Sorry, Matt. Everybody knows Matt and Bob actually did really well in the 4th legislative district. The 6th legislative district, which is Jessica Lewis, who is the Democratic, and she actually won by only 3 votes. Jeff Hawley actually has a great chance of unseating or actually taking that seat. I don't know if this is an open seat or not, but we're only 2-3% away. And if you look at Mike Voles, it's the same thing. Actually, Mike Voles is a little bit further. It's 6%. But folks, there's 11,000 of you that voted for Mike and 12,000 that voted for Jeff. Do the duty of the $2 duty. If you do that, then these guys are going to get wind in their sails. They're going to be able to advertise. They're going to be able to get out and get their message out and actually help expose these leftists that they're running against. There is no good articulating argument for supporting a leftist. That Democratic Party votes party line when it comes. That may be a really nice person, but that person still votes party line when they're sitting in that legislative seat. And that is the danger, because they are taking 2 steps forward, 1 step back. And that's why we no longer have prayer in school, even though the empirical data proves that removing prayer and the Bible from school has basically debased our society and has created a nation of immoral people, period. And so in the next legislative district, which is the 6th legislative district, I've talked about Mike Voles. He was very close to actually winning. And if you look at Dave Wilson, he only garnered 43%. And Dave Wilson is a perennial candidate. I would love to tell you what I really think, but I don't want to get into a position of libeling or anything. But, you know, I do understand when you step into the public fray, you know, the gloves can kind of come off. But he's a perennial candidate. He has tried and tried and tried, and he has put on, he's kind of a chameleon, because he's tried to be the independent. Last time when he ran against CMR, he was the independent. He defined himself as more of the conservative independent, and now he's defining himself as the Democrat. I'm telling you, he is a chameleon. I guess that's a good word for it, because he really tries to appeal to what he thinks would be the successful base for his candidacy. Anyway, Jenny is the other competitor that is moving forward because the other two have fell off. Now, if you look at the votes that were out there and what really would be the outcome, Jenny would probably have somewhere around 11,000 votes and Dave would have about 12. So we're really, really close. If you applied who voted Democrat, who voted Republican, we're really close in getting Jenny across that finish line as well as Mike. And so to me, folks, this is a must do. All 10,000, all 11,000 people who voted Republican, do the $2 scenario. Every week, just contribute, you know, just go online and throw her some love. Same thing with Mike. We need to support these folks. In the 7th Legislative District, of course, that's the northern side. I don't want to say they don't need support, but with Stevens County and the other counties that are contributing, it's 20% for Shelley Short. It is almost 20% for Jacqueline, and it's going to be almost 20% for Joel Kretz. That's the type of, you know, overwhelming support that they're getting from those red counties up north. And so I will just say, yeah, they're in a good seat. They're in a good position. Now, the 9th legislative seat, that's another really solid Republican area. So I don't necessarily need to harp and harp. Not that they don't need support. Folks, if you live in these districts, sending them some love and contributing by the $2 rule will work. And I would love the Washington State Republican Party, because what they try to do is they try to take your money and they want to have, you know, the money so that they can build their organization. The best way to contribute is directly to the candidate. So do not donate to the party. I know the county needs help, but if you don't believe the county is aligned the way you want it to be aligned, like supporting the Constitution, same thing with the state. If they're not aligned with the Constitution, then don't give them money. I'm not going to stand here and tell you, it would be hypocritical to say we need to be supporting the Constitution, but then support the party. Nope. Sorry. Make the party support the Constitution. Make it center itself on the Constitution. That's what you've heard me say, and that's what we need to start doing with these candidates. And once we get these candidates in, then we can start holding their feet to the fire. If you do not believe that these candidates, as they get seated, are going to be a good, solid, constitutional supporting candidate, then you need to start preparing now for running an election campaign in 2 years or 4 years, depending on the seat in the legislative districts, and challenge these folks. And you will have my help. Reach out, contact me. I'm here to help. I'm not from the government. Anyway, county commissioners, I'm a little remorsed, and I find it, a little saddening to find that the outcome, the way it came for Rob, apparently, I just don't believe a lot of people realize what Rob has done for the county with stopping this Avista. And maybe it's just kind of late. He needs to get out there. There needs to be a spotlight on him, because I believe that even though we're going to have these hearings that you've heard about in the news, and I'm going to be cutting a public service because they've got a hearing coming up, I truly believe that hearing has far less clout and power than what Rob has done with Coordinate, because that is a law on the books that this local community has the ability to flex its muscle and say, hey, you have to, you know, work through us because this is the human environment. And I honestly believe that they will probably, this is what I believe the outcome will be. They will go into this hearing in October, and instead of empowering the local community with this coordinate law that Rob had identified, they will basically make the ruling so that coordinate will not even become an issue on the table. And I've asked Rob to start using coordinate with every federal dollar coming in for the traffic calming to stop that. And I, you know, I've still got to do some follow-up with Rob, but I think he just wants to kill one bird with one stone and then go after the next one and so forth. That is why we need Rob in that seat. I know that there's a lot of bullying and backing behind Mary, and we'll see. I've reached out to her twice to see if she'd come on to this show to, you know, give her equal time, but she has not responded, so that's okay. We're going to have Rob back. I hope to have Rob back very soon. And if she wants to allow Rob to monopolize the conversation here on KSBN, then okay, that's all right. I will just let that stand as a testament as to where she feels she, you know, doesn't need to support and doesn't need that, you know, to be able to either promote herself, defend herself, whatever that is. And so anyway, because, you know, I like to stir it. And with Rob, I really tried to stir it. And I'm just, I'm just so impressed at his character in trying to maintain a clean fight and trying to not say anything negative about anybody. That is just incredible character on Rob's part. But anyway, let me move a little farther forward into this county. This county thing, but I'm actually at a hard break, and I'm just going to actually continue going through this hard break. So forgive me, sponsors. I realized that my engineer had waved me off because I'm just ranting. So we'll just continue through going through these county issues. And so Al French apparently is taking some real heat from his folks. And it's unfortunate that he's taking heat from the Democratic Party because of what may have happened last fall when he didn't seat Rob Chase. So here's the outcome of what ended up happening in seating Mary instead of Rob. So maybe those people in Al's French felt far more disenfranchised than those people in Mary's district. But bottom line, that's what you get. And so let me just move forward. I noticed that Leonard Christian, I don't want to say overhandedly, but by a 10% margin, he was able to beat out Tom. And it looks like Vicki Dalton has a real fight on her hands because I have no idea what the write-in ballots are. But as I'm looking at the countywide votes, you know, the countywide vote for the countywide assessor, that was 56,000 votes for Leonard Christian and Tom Conis. And so Vicki Dalton was garnered 60,000. So who knows? There may be, you know, tens of thousands out there for for Ed Pace, because I believe he's got a write-in campaign moving forward. So I'm sure Vicky's probably looking over her shoulder regarding the upcoming general election. I don't know when we'll find out what the outcome was for the write-ins, but we'll see. I think that I think the rules are, and I'll ask Aline next week, I believe that if Ed gets 1% of the votes or 1,000 votes or something like that, then he actually gets on the ballot. So he'll have to pay for that. But anyway, we'll see how that all pans out, and Elaine will be able to shine a better light on this. But the countywide clerk, so here's a good testament, though. Here's another countywide seat that garnered 75,000 votes. So if Vicki got 60, there's a good chance that Ed may have gotten like 15,000 votes. Who knows? I would be remiss if I didn't cover it. I can't believe it, but DumpAuzzy.com actually made it to the top two. So he will be moving forward into the general election to try to unseat Ozzy Knezovich. But I'm going to tell you that it doesn't look good, because actually I'm really surprised that because here's a person that has zero qualifications, but he garnered almost 13% of the vote. And so I will move on from that. Anyway, the treasurer, Michael Bumgartner, got 54% of the vote. So he's got a good gap between David Green. And with that, I think I'm just going to kind of close out. I I want you to understand that every single one of these candidates needs help, needs support, especially those critical positions. Let me tell you what the critical positions are. Your legislative district is a critical position. And your sovereigns. Who are the sovereigns? If you read your history books, if you read American philosophy and the ratification debates more specifically, the sovereigns are those who create the laws. The sheriff and or the executives, like the president, they only execute the laws, and their hands are tied to what the laws are. It's the same thing with the Supreme Court and the local court systems. Their hands are tied to what the law is. And so, excuse me. So if you understand the importance of your sovereigns, your county commissioners are the sovereigns for the county. They have far more power than you can imagine. And that's why we want to make sure we're supporting and voting for those who support liberty. And that's why I highly recommend you start looking at supporting those. And in the Rob Chase Mary, you know, I'm all in the tank on Rob because he is a true liberty supporter. Same thing with your legislative district, though. Supporting your Republicans are those who support liberty. $2 a week for each of those candidates in your legislative district and in your county. That may cost you maybe $10 a week. Wow. That would, you know, come up to maybe $100 over the span of the campaign. Maybe. Not even. My point is, folks, that it costs money, and Soros and the progressives and these unions and these other ideologues that are looking to subjugate us are willing to spend their money. And if we're not willing to defend it by even a small fraction of, you know, our livelihood, then we get what we deserve, period. So let me just kind of move on, because I want to also poke at the businesses. It's not just you folks. It is the businesses that have a huge responsibility in countering that. And I will move on to Cecily's resignation. So what I have done and what I have learned, because I actually went out to a lot of the people that basically said this Mr. Alsup is a bad guy who came up and spoke at. And when I watched this, I did not see any smacks of white supremacy, white racism, or racism at all. And I'm just going, this is very interesting. Well, so why is everybody having such a hard time? Well, because it's him, because he is a white supremacist. And I'm going, okay, well, you know, I asked people, I actually went out and asked people directly who said they researched him. And I said, well, give me the evidence that you have that he is a white supremacist, because I am not a proponent for racism. As a matter of fact, you know, even though we kind of look at white supremacy as a really bad thing, it's equally bad for black supremacy or black separatist movements. I mean, racial separation or racial separatists are evil, period. They do not recognize that all people are, they do not embrace and grasp the fundamental principles of this nation, that all people were created equal. And it took a long time for us to finally turn that corner in fighting the Civil War, where we paid our heaviest cost ever in the history of this nation in ensuring that all people could live free. Now, we had all sorts of problems because of people, but not because of the laws or our ideology. The laws were actually subverted by evil people as well. And unfortunately, we've had problems with government. But if you really want to know party-wise who has the blood on their hands regarding racism and the racial divide of this nation, you don't have to look any further than the Democratic Party. I would ask you to go to blackandblondemedia.com. Bob Parks has an awesome timeline on the Democratic lie and their history. By all means, go through that and take a look. He chronicalizes it very clearly that they have been the proponents for separation, divide and conquer, and those types of tactics. So anyway, I've asked several people, give me your evidence, Give me what you had to be able to make this judgment, because I do not take lightly when you want to call somebody a racist just because somebody works at FUBU, you know, for us, by us, the clothing. I'm not going to necessarily call them a racist because, you know, they're associated with a racist type of company. Or, you know, whether that be the NAACP, when an organization is focused myopically on race and or forms their marketing strategy on race, then they are a racist company or organization because they're myopic. But anyway, going back to this, I wanted to make sure that somebody that is going to be convicted By the if you want to call it the public forum or the public jury or by public opinion or individual opinion, because there were plenty of them that were pounding their chest last week and this week. I just want to get the facts. I think it's very important that we have the facts. And so far, I can't find any facts of white supremacy and or that type of attitude. Now, I will say that Mr. Alsup may have and I think he's articulating an interesting argument, because him and the organizations that he is affiliating with is saying, hey, we're facing an all-out war of the anti-white. And there are plenty of people out there that are literally doing that. If you didn't know, folks, it's just like that anti-Christian movement that has been rammed down our throats for a long time. And there is a problem with this, but I have a real hard time understanding why this huge wave of pressure came from the RNC and the WSRP on what Cecily ended up doing, and they demanded her resignation. And knowing and understanding the circumstances, I completely understand what and why, you know, Cecily ended up resigning. I wish she would have fought, but I understand completely. I think a lot of people wish the outcomes would have been different. But I think it's about time to start having a real honest conversation. I might actually, I should reach out to Ward Connerly and find out, you know, what his take is on this, because I know he's a local resident in the readout area. And I know he's been fighting and talking about this racial divide and so forth. And so I think he would be a great person to probably get his perspective on this, because we have a lot of social justice warriors that are wearing Republican labels as well as hardcore communists. Because if you understand social justice, and I've talked about this several times, social justice is literally communism. It is a redistribution of outcomes of both wealth and justice and so forth. And it is predetermined type of outcome. Oh, well, because this person is of this descent or this race or ethnicity, blah, 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 then they can't be guilty. And that is lunacy. That is an absolute 180 from having a law of nations to all of a sudden having a law of tyranny, because it becomes very arbitrary. Now, all of a sudden, you have two different minorities in a court case. Who wins? It becomes very arbitrary, my friends. And we have to stop this. This is why we've got to stop this progressive slide. There is only one solution, that is reclaiming the republic, that is really going to solve all of these problems. And that's why I am here. That's why I am GR. Reclaiming the Republic, and I need your help, and these candidates need your help. So please stay tuned next week, and we'll have more analysis on voter turnout, and God bless. We'll be back next week.